Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, episode 134, Spread Truth, Spreading Messages of Hope. I'm here with Jerry McCorkle in the studio, the man, the myth, the legend.
I don't know about that, but I'm the old guy in the ministry. How about that?
Oh, but lots of wisdom, well, masterclass teacher in evangelism. But we're about this. I mean, at Nussbaum, we want to spread messages of hope. And so we partner with Spread Truth as with the ministry and provide in different ways. We've done, I think we did a Thanksgiving trip to New York with Spread Truth and financially.
Yeah, just really thankful for this company and their involvement in our ministry every month. And the things that y'all have been able to provide for us allow us to take the gospel in so many different ways in Kenya. And so from the bottom of our hearts there at Spread Truth, we just want to say a big thank you.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and thanks for making this work out. So you're normally in South Carolina.
South Carolina. I was in Normal for many years and moved down to South Carolina about 8 years ago. But I still have an apartment here at our offices, so my wife and I were able to fly back, still have a car here, so I get back quite often.
Good, good. Yeah. So this will be a lot of fun. I want this to be a resource for people listening and also to point them to be able to share their faith with other people and spread truth. That's what you're about. Mm-hmm. Providing resources is a huge part of that. So we'll get into that. But before we do, I wanted to talk about what is your role, Jerry? What do you like to do outside of work?
Yeah.
Give us a little taste of who you are.
Yeah. Well, for lack of a better word, I guess I'm the executive director. I started it years ago, had no idea that it would be, in a sense, the broadness of where it is today. But so I started it, and in fact, it officially started in 2001 as a 501c3, and back then we called it New York City Ministries. And so over time, I think in the year 2006, we actually changed the name of it to Spread Truth Ministries.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's been a great journey. I'm probably the least likely candidate to to lead an organization like this, but I'm just thankful for that. And so, yeah, it's been that's something that I love, and things that I like to do outside of work. You know, really, I was thinking, my wife, you know, I really don't. I play tennis when I was, you know, the other day, but I don't really enjoy tennis. And I guess the only thing that I like doing, and I shouldn't say I even really like it, that I do regularly is I do exercise a lot in the sense of jogging, you know, lifting, and things like that. And that's not because I love it, because if I could stay in shape without having to do that, then I wouldn't do it. But I do have that pattern in my life that I do that, so I guess good. It's good for me.
And the weather probably stays pretty nice.
Nice down there in South Carolina. Yeah. I remember waking up in Illinois one day and the wind chill factor was 63 below zero. The high that day, the temperature at that time was 22, and the high that day was 10 below. I don't miss those days.
Yeah.
Don't miss those at all.
Yeah, don't get those that often.
No. Right. Those are back in the days when the winters were really, really bad, they say. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, talk me through that journey of going from New York Ministries. How did you even get involved in that?
Yeah.
What did you do before?
Yeah. In 1994, I came to be the college and career pastor at Calvary Baptist here in Normal, Illinois. After about a year, I decided what I would do was take college students from Illinois State, Illinois Wesleyan, on a New York trip, and what I would try to do is equip them to share their faith and defend their faith in what is considered maybe the greatest international city in the world. So we did that, and for a number of years, it was just, you know, people there from Calvary. In time, some of the older people in the congregation, they wanted to go to New York City. In fact, I think they actually beat us the first time there. But anyway, what happened was it started growing and growing, and then I thought, wow, there are other people in the city that, or around the country, that would like to go on this trip, but they would feel funny coming on Calvary Baptist's college trip. Mm-hmm. Why don't we create a 501c3, and then people would have that freedom. I'm still going to be the college and career pastor.
Yeah, right.
This is just something I do off to the side.
Right.
So that happened in 2001. Now, that was the same year that the towers went down.
Oh,
so when the towers went down, it became something that was on the mind of a lot of people.
Yeah.
So everybody was going. So what happened when the towers went down? We had been there in June already. Maybe it was July. No, it was in July. We had already been there. And then when the towers went down 6 weeks later, we organized a trip of 125 people and went back out there and ministered to people on the street right after the towers went down.
Wow.
And it was at that time that, you know, lots of times with New Yorkers are in a hustle and bustle and life is going fast. But at that time, it's kind of like going down the highway of life. They pull off to the side of the road and were willing to have conversations, so to speak, because of what had happened. And so that was really an amazing trip. So in 2001, we became an official organization. In 2006, two significant things. We changed the name to Spread Truth. And I decided that I would step away from being the college and career pastor to being the director full time.
Wow.
And Calvary was gracious because the first year they paid my salary to do that.
Wow.
And I guess the rest is history. So I've stayed in that. And we have a staff of 6 people now in the United States and 5 in Kenya.
Okay.
And throughout the history of Spread Truth, we've had some amazing staff people that has helped take us to where kind of we're able to do some things today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think everything that you do is done well.
Well,
everything that I've seen.
Well, what I've decided to do is I'm not the sharpest pencil, you know, in the box, but I've always wanted to find people that were smarter than me, that were really talented, and so they could take it to where I think it needed to be.
Yeah, and I think what you said about New York right after 2001, those signals.
Yeah.
In times, there are times when we're waking up, like COVID was one of those times when we had to stop and think about death and think about, we don't have the busyness of around us to.
Well, it's interesting you said that. You know, I don't know. One of the things that in our big evangelism course that we recently did, we have a section on signals of transcendence. And this is where God is speaking or sending signals to people in their everyday lives that these things happen. And for a moment, the signals, as Oz Guinness says, they first of all make you pause and to think, hey, listen, maybe there is more to life than what I'm experiencing because of this. And it points in the right direction. Now, every person has to take that signal and they say, hey, listen, am I willing to follow it where it goes? And so, as my dad used to say when I would go to New York City, he's passed along now. He says, "Dearie, just remember that when you go to New York, he's already been there in that person's life in some way. There's been some signals already happening in that person. So it's not like when you get there, hey, I'm this beacon of sharing the gospel and they've never heard it and I got it. No, no, no. God's already been there in their life. And in the booklet that I talked to you earlier about, everything's going to be okay, that's a signal that every single parent has that they give to their children. Everything's going to be okay. And we don't have to talk about that now, but it's a signal. So yes, that was a COVID, 9/11, huge signals where people all of a sudden pause. Is there more to life? And I'm sure a lot of people, I think Tim Keller referred to, lots of people probably came to Christ probably during 2001 or even COVID. Mm. They came to Christ because they said, hey, listen, life's brief. Life's like a vapor. And they'll hear a message, talk to a friend. And so God uses those signals in people's lives. And 2001 was a big signal in New York City.
Wow. And thank you for sharing the history too, of Spread Truth, and to see what it has become today, and a staff of 11 people. Mm-hmm. And so just before we get into everything, I wanted to do a little game.
Okay.
Since this is Spread Truth, I wanted to do Spread Two Truths and a Lie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, two truths about myself.
About yourself.
And then one that's a lie. Now you're going to try to figure it out.
I'm going to try to figure it out.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. I have been the director of, next year will be the 30th year of us going to New York City on a mission trip.
Okay.
30 years. Okay. Second of all, I'm the parent of three children and seven grandchildren.
Okay.
Okay. And then just recently, in the last 6 months, I was actually able to complete my Master of Divinity degree from Southern Seminary.
Oh, wow.
So which one is a lie?
Well, I think the 30 years is true.
Okay.
The three kids and seven grandkids, I don't have a way to verify that. And also the Master of Divinity,
yeah.
I'm not sure. Where was it from?
Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. Did you have a certain class you liked?
Yeah. The biblical hermeneutics was my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to, Daniel, do you have any thoughts on this? I think I'm going to go with the second one. I think you probably have something like two or four kids instead of three. What is it?
Number three.
It's number three.
Yeah, it's number three. No, I don't have a Master of Divinity. In fact, my major in college was history and my minor was German. Hmm. Now, my only claim to fame to German is I can probably sing the national anthem, but that's about it. I always want to be an encouragement to people, even in the role that God has allowed me to be in, that in some ways I really am the least qualified. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've had wonderful, wonderful people around me as far as learning things. But my BA was in history and my minor was in German.
Very unrelated to what you're doing now.
Exactly. And that was it because I taught history.
Yeah.
And I taught German. When I was at Calvary, they had a ministry to college students at Illinois State, and I thought, well, I guess I got to do something.
Yeah.
And we did that, and that led me to be in the college ministry, which led us to go full-time before Calvary into college ministry. When I came here, I was college and career pastor, which eventually led to New York City trips, which eventually led to New York City ministry, which eventually led to Spread Truth.
Wow. And I think something, too, is it's for everyone. It's not just for the people that have the Masters of Divinity. Wow. And we all...
Well, can I share something with you?
Yeah,
I think
please.
When in New York City, you'll probably find sometimes the people that struggle the most sharing their faith are the well-seasoned pastors. Okay? Now they don't have the knowledge. But you see, it just takes that ordinary person in the street corner that's unintimidating, just loves people, and God uses them in miraculous ways. So I think when pastors go on the trip, they'll learn from their congregants on really how to share their faith.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this before, extroverted or introverted.
People say, you know what? You got to have that gift of evangelism. You got to have that. You got to be that extrovert that can answer all the apologetic questions and things like that. In reality, sometimes if you're an introvert, because if you're like me, an extrovert, I'm ready to talk to people. I'm kind of like stirring in my mind how I can answer all their arguments. It could be a little intimidating sometimes. Not that I know that much, but I'm just saying I've kind of been through all these different things. Whereas a person who may not be as sure, who probably listens better than me.
Yeah.
Who's thoughtful in the responses, maybe stumbles over some sentence, they gain that credibility with people. My mom and dad, 70, 80 years old, for many years went to New York City. They would go at a prayer station and people would just be drawn to them because they're simple people and they with smiles that listen and they probably led scores of people to Jesus.
Wow.
So as an evangelist, whether you're an extrovert or introvert, God uses them.
God
both.
Uses that.
Yeah.
And everyone has different people they can reach. And
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a great encouragement.
Yeah.
So, thank you for sharing those two truths and a lie.
Yeah.
And so before we get in, the heart of what I wanted to bring you in for too was we have our trailers on the road and people see those and says there is hope in troubled times. Forgiveness brings freedom, love above all. And we have the Psalms. We have a series on the Psalms. So people see those and someone walks up to you on the street and says, what does that mean? Why do you have that on your trailer? So I want people to have the ability to answer that well. And Spread Truth has resources.
If someone were to come up, first of all, the trucks are an amazing idea, okay? Because as they go down the highways, these are signals. These are beeps that are going throughout the country. People are going to see. okay? And it begins a process in their mind, because you never know what a person is thinking when they see something like that. And they may never talk to the driver, but it spurs something in their mind that they talk to someone else. And I think what one of the encouragements could be for those who happen to have conversations as a result of seeing one of the trucks is to share with them that life, we have to admit, life sometimes can be difficult. There's just no doubt about it. And everyone in the world, because of the brokenness of this planet that we live on, is suffering some type of sadness in some department of their life. Because we're talking about the brokenness that's in our society. We can see that today when we turn the TV on, from the politics to the school shootings. There's something fundamentally wrong. So our society's broken. Our relationships, oftentimes, we'll talk to people. It doesn't take very long till you get in there that there's been some a broken relationship with a mother and a daughter, or a husband and a wife. We're broken internally, meaning that many of us have gone through times of discouragement, depression. Mm-hmm. So everyone in the world is a recipient of a broken planet, and it brings discouragement sometimes. And what gets you out of the bed in the morning is that you hope that today, you know, it'll turn around. That tomorrow's another day. It'll get better. And in the Christian message, what I would just be able to share with them is that we believe that there's one story that governs the world. Okay? One story. One God. And this God here cares about you intimately. So much so that He created you. He said He's got the very hairs of your head numbered. Okay? And He's the creator from the beginning. And He brought you into His story because He cares about you and wants to give you an ending beyond your wildest imagination. And then I would probably say, hey, listen, some of the things that you are going through, and I would listen to them intently. And what I would do if I were talking to someone is I would want to ask some questions about why they were asking that question, because you want to be a good listener. And if you listen, they're probably going to open up about their story. And then you kind of want to cater this message to exactly where that need is. And so, but in kind of giving the solution to the dilemma, you would just share with them that the first two people in the world, they had a perfect environment, had a perfect relationship, but they decided that they kind of wanted to do it their way. And when that happened, the brokenness entered into the world. And I follow the same suit. My wife has followed the same suit. You know, we've kind of wanted to do it our way in life. And I can just tell you that whenever you try to do it your way, it invariably leads to some problems. But the cool part about the story is that the God who created this story is going to write Himself in to His own story. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. And He put on a body, and He moved into the neighborhood, and He suffered everything that we've suffered. He relates to everything that we've been through. So whatever you're going through, that you saw that on that truck and you thought, man, but does He really? You can be assured that this Jesus understands exactly what you've gone through. And then He has provided something, though, which is beyond your wildest imagination, is that by His death and resurrection, He said, hey, listen, if you'll come to Me, you know, and just say, listen, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of You. The Bible says to him that comes to Him, He'll never cast him out. And He'll not only offer you eternal life, but He'll offer to be with you during the struggles that you have now. There's an old song that says, God, you know, when you say, hey, listen, can I make it through this life? And there's an old song that says, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. And that really kind of comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, where He says that He would make a road in the desert, okay? And that's so very, very important. And so God is providing in the wilderness of our lives, He is providing a way for us if we'll follow Him. So I would say, hey, listen, if you happen to have a discussion because of a sign that they see like that, just ask a lot of good questions. And listen with gospel ears, to what they're going through, and then try to take the message and kind of cater it. And don't be afraid that, hey, listen, because you remember what I said, my dad said that when you go to New York, he's already been there. But you can be assured that when that person asks that question to you, he's already been there in their life.
Yeah.
And you don't have to dump everything you know on them. You think, oh, man, I got this one chance. I got to give me all the tracks. You know what? Because he's in control of it. You do what's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't overwhelm. You don't gospel dump truck on him. Like, man, that's deer in the headlights.
I've heard it said that the gospel is not, like, sharing the gospel is not A to Z, but it's A to B.
Yeah.
Or B to C, like moving them to the next step.
Just taking them to the next step.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? And trusting God that someone else will take it from C to D.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's in control of this whole thing anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's easy to think, yeah, we have to walk through it all, and then they're like, all right, do you accept this?
Yeah, and then they got like deer in the headlights looking at you like, man, what just happened to me? How about just talking to me regularly? I don't want a presentation.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I want a conversation, and there's a difference.
Yeah, a conversation. Yeah.
Not a presentation.
Yeah, that's good.
And conversations, they ebb and flow.
Yep.
You know,
there's back and forth.
Back and forth. You're asking about their life, what they're in, what the things they enjoy in life, you know, what their interests are, their hobbies are, things like that. Because you're really going to, it's going to be hard to get to really personal, intimate questions about spiritual things if you bypass their life and just what's happened to them in life.
Yeah. You know that's important.
Yeah, you got to earn the right, really, to have to ask those deeper questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when you were sharing, too, something that struck me was the conviction that you had. It's even if someone doesn't believe it at the end, they want to believe it.
Yeah.
And I've heard that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think, in sharing with people, whenever you go to a movie or a play or you read a book, at the end, you desperately want it to have resolution. You would hate to go see Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol and he go through all that he went through, and at the end he still remained a miser. Tiny Tim dies, and that's how the movie and that's how the play ends. You don't want it that way. You want there has to be resolution. Okay, that whatever the conflict was, it was resolved at the end. We're built for that. Whether it be the Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, whatever story you read follows the same pattern as the biblical story. The biblical story, the beginning, you have it there, and you have the protagonist and the antagonist that are introduced. It is God and then Satan in chapter 3. And then you all of a sudden have the conflict. And so whenever you're watching a movie, you're not going to be drawn into it unless there's some type of dilemma. How can this thing be resolved? Okay? And then you're going to have the hero of the story come in and resolve the conflict, because you're wanting for that to happen. In the end, they all lived happily ever after. You know, whether it's from a fairy tale to the Beauty and the Beast, they're all following the same storyline. And that's because it's reflective of the big story that governs the world. So every person you meet wants the story of their life to end right. They may not know how, but they want it for them and their children. So what if you say, listen, what if I could share with you a story that guarantees you something beyond your wildest imagination? Just hear me out and listen, and then look at any other world story and just compare it and see what you think. So those are tough. But there is built within mankind these desires that the story of life end okay. And so I think it's a great way you can talk about movies and talk about, you know, reading and things like that.
Absolutely. And it is the greatest story.
Yeah.
The greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
And I think you have an app called
The Story.
The Story.
Yeah. Right? So, hey, anybody that's listening or watching, we just rebuilt it. And it's an app that will have a wonderful story film that's a six minute animation that takes them through creation, fall, rescue, restoration. It is contextualized, meaning that if you're reaching an Arabic population, we've gone in and changed some of the scenes from a pointed skyscraper to a round building, added layers of music in there. So it's contextualized for the audience. 28 different languages, and it's the gospel in your pocket. Now, you're not always going to have your Bible with you, but you're always going to have your phone, most likely.
Yeah.
And so if you I was in Paris, France, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I met Shandon on the boat on a tour on the Seine River around Paris, and we began to talk, and he's from India, and I said, well, what language do you speak? He says, well, I speak Hindi. And so then I pulled out my phone, and on the boat there, he was able to watch and hear the gospel just because it was in my pocket. Now, we've exchanged phone numbers, we've connected by WhatsApp, and so our relationship continues. You're going to meet scores of people that come into your life that you may never see again. And if you have something that's done really well, and maybe you have a short conversation, say, hey, man, I'll probably never see you again, but can I just share with you, here, you could just do the QR code. Yeah. It's just a story that changed my life.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do, and anybody can do that. And that's not offensive. I mean, it's just a story that changed my life. I'd love to see what you think about it.
Yeah.
And let them do it. So we trust that it becomes a movement all over the world that people have the gospel in their pocket. So, yeah, if you want to just go to the Google, I don't have what they call it, but anyway, the App Store, you know, for Apple or the one for Google, just go there and put in the story and you'll see it.
That's great. And yeah, redoing it. Like
yeah,
it's
redoing
a new
it.
App.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. It's just really, really nice.
It's very good. The story. And yeah, there's also, you can flip through the different.
Yeah. There's not only the film, but the story booklet is on there and all 28 different languages and the conversation guide with the four worldview questions. So if I meet someone in New York and I say, hey, listen, I'm out here in New York and, we're just visiting here, and we're asking people four kind of worldview questions that we think everyone sometime in their life has probably thought about. Would you mind answering them? Well, I can do that kind of from memory, but I've had my phone there. Or I'm talking to somebody from Haiti, and it's in Creole, and I'm trying to struggle with it. That first question, how did it all begin, comes up in Creole. Then the answer to that comes up and the Bible verses. And that happens in all 28 languages. So it's a conversation piece, the story booklet, the story film, and then for children, we have what's called the story maker, you know, and so that's another way. We're just...
It's like an animated video.
Animated video, taking kids through creation, fall, rescue, restoration. The booklet takes them through creation, fall, rescue. Yeah. So everything kind of has that same kind of ecosystem like Apple does.
Well, if someone told me, can I tell you a story that changed my life?
Yeah.
I want to know that story.
Right, yes, because my story. It's kind of crazy. You're not going to believe it, but here's the... And you know, one of the things, you know, helping, which has helped me even recently, is that when I was in New York City, we walked into a park and there was a lady there having a tea party. And she had this idea. She's not a Christian. Her husband worked for Sesame Street. She's not a Christian. But she had this idea that every Thursday in Bryant Park, she would set up these tables, and she would bring her goods in and plates and all that, and they would have a tea party. And it'd be for anybody. I don't care if you're a businessman, a homeless person, or a tourist. You're walking by. And they say it's so therapeutic. New York Times had an article on it. But she said, I asked this one question that I ask everybody that comes up, and she'll introduce herself. You know, oh, your name's Johnny. Johnny, is so great to meet you. I got one question for you, Johnny, before you sit down and have this thing. What's the best thing there is to know about you? Wonderful question. So countless times when I'm in a restaurant, I sit down with a wait, and the waitress comes by, and I say, hey, Sally. Now I'm going to ask you a question now. You ready for it? I ask every person. I asked, and it's not bragging, but I want you to answer for me. Hey, Sally, what's the best thing there is to know about you? Because everyone wants to be seen. Everyone wants to be affirmed. Everyone wants to be loved. And you want that person to look within inside of themselves, and maybe they've been discouraged, and there's nothing good about it, but there is something because they've been designed in the image of God. There's something they bring to the table, to their family, to society, to their neighborhood, to their school. There's something about them that contributes, and you want them to bring that out, and then you affirm that. That's one step in the right direction. You know what I mean? So it's a great conversation piece. So for all the audience, if you want a great question, not original with me, you know, you can use it anywhere. What's the best thing there is to know about you?
I love that. Those are really helpful to know.
Yeah, real simple things that can create great conversation with people.
Yeah, and you said you have to earn the right to share.
And the idea is that, man, if I just come barging in saying, hey, listen, let me tell you something. If you died in that, you know where to go. Some ways, I guess there's some opportunities you can do that when you don't have much time. But if you have the time, especially because you're going to have two different types of opportunities. Some of them are going to be the sprint, and some of them are the marathon, meaning your sprint relationships are ones that you don't have a lot of time to deal with over, you know, they're not in your neighborhood. They're people that you may see sporadically. But even in those times, it's important for you to get to know them as a person and be assured that if you don't get into a spiritual conversation at that time, it's okay. Because God's sovereign over the whole process. You want them to leave the conversation having a great experience with a person that's called themselves a Christian, and they were interested in me.
Yeah.
Okay, they weren't interested in me just them proselytizing, you know what I mean? They were interested in me as a person. And if you're really interested to them as a person, if you do have the chance to share the gospel, and they say, I'm really not interested, you keep caring for them, and you keep loving them. Okay, so you've got your, what you call your sprint kind of opportunities, and then you have the marathons, and those are ones in your neighborhood, okay, over a long period of time. And so you just have to be faithful in kind of both of them. Just be ready in both of them. But always be gracious. Always, you know, have a spirit of meekness and tenderness and being willing to listen.
And that's something I've made the mistake on before, of not coming across gracefully. And I liked the way that you said that sprint versus marathon. And I feel like there's been times when I've come across, I asked that question.
I think we all have.
If you die today and you stood before God and he asked you, why should I let you into my kingdom? Yeah. What would you say?
Yeah.
But then, like, how am I getting to know that person?
Right. And so that's a great question to ask, as long as it can sometimes be in a little bit more of a context of just who they are as a person. And that's always that challenge, because sometimes you don't have much time and things like that. And God uses the people that are really kind of in their face. And so I'm not saying this, but I found that people will respect you more just if you listen, if they know they're being listened to.
And how you say it matters. Like saying, hey, I really care about you and I want you to know, like, can I ask you something?
Yeah, because man, hey, listen, I'm probably never going to see you again, but man, we're going to live somewhere forever. So can I have just a couple of minutes to share with you something? And man, you're free to disagree with it, but it's something that really kind of changed my life. Because my life was, and then if he allows you to tell your story, then that's the amazing thing. You know, because your story speaks powerfully. So you take God's story that you're ready to share, but you're intertwining that with your story. Then it becomes real. It's a story with, you know what I mean, with skin on. You know what I mean? This actually happened to you? Yeah, this is what happened to me. So I think everyone needs to have some type of a story that they can take of their life. You know what I mean? And it may be something to the fact of you're already a Christian, but something, man, happened in your life and you're so thankful. I mean, hey, listen, I was driving down the road, down Route 51. It was raining that night and the car skidded off to the side, man, and I hit another car and, man, totally totaled it. And, man, my life kind of flashed before me, man, because life sometimes is brief. And, Joe, I'm just telling you, not trying to be a religious fanatic, but I'm just so thankful that, hey, listen, if something had happened to me, it was going to be okay. Well, how's that? Well, if you have time, I can share with you. You know, so there's all different types of things you can use to kind of integrate yourself into a person's life.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And so Spread Truth has different pillars for how to help equip people. What are those three pillars?
The three pillars are our resources now, and then you have training, and then you have opportunities. Now, our resources include all of our print material, plus our films. We basically have three key films. One is the story film, then for children, the story maker, and then the one called The Man on the Middle Cross, which has got a lot of views on it. So those are our resources. And so we want to equip people with gospel sharing resources that are of high quality. And so whether a booklet that we make or a film that we make, we don't mind them tripping up over the gospel, but we don't want them tripping up because we did a poor job in what we did. And so, like in The Man on the Middle Cross, we have professional actors in it, and the animations and the story film and the story maker done really well. So our resources are huge. They're not the only resources that are out there. There's a lot of other good ones. These are the ones we think can hopefully be an encouragement. Second of all is training. And we have, if you go to New York City, we do an abbreviated training. We've done that for years, but we now have a very extensive training, which is 7 modules, 19 lessons done in studio, you know, and with all different types of PDFs. And we have key interviews that we've done over the last couple of years, from Oz Guinness to Alistair Begg, all different type of people that can speak into this course here. So it's really, really thorough. So we have training. So you got resources, then we have training, and then we have the opportunities. And that's the New York City trip for the last 30 years. And if you're interested in going, go to spreadtruth.com. We'd love to have you sign up. But then also what this organization here does, Newsbomb Trucking, is support the opportunities that we have in Kenya. So we have a team over there that's working year-round. We go once a year in February. And so if people are interested in that, they can contact us too. We'd love to do that.
Well, I think if anyone knows you, Jerry, you're really passionate about Kenya.
Right.
The way you're talking about Kenya, it's like I'm fired up about this. Could you tell me a little bit more about what's going on
in
Kenya?
Yeah, well, let me just give you a little rundown of what we did the last trip. First of all, we are thankful for the Midwest Food Bank. We partner with them in helping deliver food. They provide the food for us for free. We pay for the transportation of that food. And scores and scores and scores of people have been fed with hearing the gospel because of our partnership with the Midwest Food Bank. So on our last mission trip, had a big food outreach, had a wonderful time. Second of all, we do share the gospel through sports outreaches. So over the last 6 or 7 years, countless sports events, huge sports events, a 700-team soccer tournament in Meru. I mean, all different types. So we do basketball, volleyball, soccer, boxing. And so we've been able to reach tons of young people in Kenya because of our sports outreaches. Now, what makes it easier for us to do that is that we do partner with the government of Kenya called the National Youth Council. And because of Somalia being next door and the terrorist Al-Shabaab coming in trying to recruit, Kenyan government is so concerned that they reach the young people. And so they we just had this agreement. And so we're able to get into places because of our work with the Kenyan government. That's even allowed us to go into Zambia and Uganda and do some of the same things. So we not only do the food outreach, not only do we do the sports outreach, but we also have our own Spread Truth campus down among the Maasai people. And we, by some donors, helped build some churches. We just did a medical clinic down there. This is our third year to do a major medical clinic, going in, doing surgeries, eyes, pulling teeth. It's just amazing that what goes on there. So we're trying to minister through food, through social justice. There's a medical clinics, through sports outreaches. And then we also have a girls' ministry that we do called What Is a Little Girl Worth? Now, I know this may be a sensitive topic for a podcast, but there's a practice all over the world called FGM, female genital mutilation. Mm-hmm. Happens to 150 to 200 million women worldwide. Wow. It can happen to a young girl as young as 3 where they are circumcised. It's a horrible practice. And so we developed a curriculum called What Is a Little Girl Worth? That has been certified by the government of Kenya to go into any public school in Kenya. And it's amazing. It's an amazing curriculum. And so we're able to go to schools and teach them. And it's amazing what some of these little girls go through. Mm-hmm. We were at a rescue center 2 weeks ago, and there's little girls as young as 3 years old that have been cut. And the reason they cut them that age is so they don't know what's really going on. Because if they're 11 or 12, they're sensing, wait a minute, something maybe not, because the government has outlawed it now. They sense something's wrong. It's more difficult. And so it's amazing what these little girls go through. There was one situation at a rescue center, 4, 3 sisters and a cousin. The oldest girl was 13 years old, and so the mom had died, and unfortunately the dad had died, and so the uncles were taking care of them and said, hey, listen, we need some money here, so what we're going to do is that we're going to marry off the 13-year-old to a 30-year-old, and for the dowry, we'll get some cattle. Well, this 13-year-old says, no. I can't do that, but they were going to force her to do it. And if she got married, she would have to be cut too. So one night on a Thursday evening, they decide, hey, listen, they took the three sisters and the cousin and they're heading out of there. Because they said, listen, the 13-year-old, if you won't do it, we'll take your 10-year-old sister and we'll get her. So these girls, it's amazing, flee.
Wow.
And for the next 3.5 days, they traveled 120 miles walking day and night to get to a rescue center they heard about called AIG. And so they would stop by people's houses just to get some food. They would drink water out of the puddles. And so when they finally arrived at the gate of this rescue center, they knocked on the door. And of course, the guard hears them and his feet are swollen, stomach problems. But they let him in. Well, that was a year ago. Now, a year later, we're able to see these girls, and they're just doing absolutely wonderful. Mm. So what is a little girl worth? Worth everything. Mm. And so what we're trying to do through food, through sports, through our churches, you know, through the ministry with the girls is be able to get the gospel out and then minister as many people. And it's this organization here, News Bomb Trucking, that has helped us be able to do some of these things.
I never heard that before.
Yeah.
And to think that you're doing this with the government,
yes,
that God's allowed you to come into the country and work with the government,
yeah,
is pretty amazing.
Yeah, we've been to the First Lady's place and handed her the curriculum.
Wow.
Met the First Lady of Kenya in New York City not long ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, God's opened up some good opportunities for us, and we're thankful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Good. Yeah. Well, and to know that that's kind of the role that Newsbomb plays is on
huge,
that side of thing, too.
Huge role, okay? And the gospel is going out on all these things. When we go in to go into Uganda or something, another man, we're training pastors in the gospel. You know, these booklets here, the story booklets, man, they're all over Kenya. Storymaker booklets all over Kenya.
Yeah.
Because we spread the word that way.
Wow. And so you brought some of these booklets
yes,
here.
Yes, I did. I sure did. This is the story booklet right here, which is about 3 million of these have been printed. And we hand out thousands of these in New York City. And then we also have, I thought I had it here, but, the Story Maker booklet here. That's the one for children, and they're handed out in Kenya, too. And so a lot of these things are going out. And so we're just blessed and just kind of doing the best we can day by day.
Yeah. And so we're going to leave some of these in the driver lounge.
Yes. Yeah.
And so for people coming through and you have some time off while you're at
Yeah. Here. And listen, if y'all ever need them for the drivers, let me know. We'll provide them for you for free.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just thankful to be able to do that.
Wow. We would love to provide those resources for people. And they're really great, too.
Well, I hope so. I hope they're an encouragement.
Yeah. Something I wanted to talk about before we wrap things up is fear in sharing the truth.
Yeah.
That's a hard boundary to cross. There's that moment of pain when I have a relationship with you, Jerry, but then for me to step into the spiritual, there's that I'm risking something.
Mm-hmm.
How do you talk people through that?
Well, I think Lifeway did a big survey. And what they've come, and the stat that we use in our training is that 81% of people that they surveyed are actually open to a spiritual conversation. So we're far more fearful of having the conversation than they are of having that conversation. So I think if we have in our mind that, hey, listen, I'm going out into the big bad world and they're going to reject me and they're going to hate what I do. But in reality, most people are open to some type of spiritual conversation. Now, you have to be ethical about it and maybe ask the right questions. And I think, too, what can help take away the fear is, hey, listen, as we were talking about, you just want to get them kind of to the next point. So maybe It's just having a normal conversation with someone that you're establishing a friendship. Hey, that's progress. Maybe it's having them into your neighbor into a house, and don't be like I've got to be able to, you know, make sure I leave a storybook clip by their pet plate. No, just have a meal.
Yeah.
Okay. Pray. Say, listen, I do pray here, you know, for our meals, and maybe the whole evening is spent just getting to know them as people, and that may go on for a while until it's appropriate. So you're going to want to ask the Lord to help you, Colossians chapter 4, that you have divine appointments to talk to the people you're supposed to.
Yeah.
The Bible, also the idea that we need to know the words we're supposed to say, you know, whether to share the gospel or not share the gospel. You want to be sensitive enough to hold back when you need to hold back, but bold enough when you're supposed to be bold. And those times are going to change. You just never know. And the Bible says this, 1 Peter 3:15, that we need to be able to give an answer to every man for the reason of hope that lies within us, but with gentleness and meekness. Hmm. But notice the verse, we need to give an answer. That means they're the ones asking the question. Okay?
Yeah.
So that says something about establishing a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they see something. They hear something. They're asking the question. The Bible says when you respond, make sure you're gentle and you're meek about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Christians don't always have the best reputations. We're like bull in the china shops. You know, sometimes people think, man, we're mad about everything.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be.
And you pointed out something I haven't thought about before, that don't underestimate your relationship with God, because people will ask you these questions. So why is my life different? Do I have a relationship with God where people want to ask me those things?
Ask you those questions. And just be transparent about it. Say, sometimes I blow it. I'm not all that I should be.
Right.
Okay? You know what I mean? But hey, listen. And I think that what you want, as the old Puritan said this, if you knew his heart, you'd come. You want to be able to portray to people the heart of Jesus toward them. Because they're probably going to think, man, he's probably angry with me because some of the stuff that I've done in my past, or I'm never going to be able to live up to the expectation because it's the good works versus the... And what you want to just share with them is the heart of Jesus. And Jesus has got a huge heart. And that Puritan said, if people knew his heart, they'd come. You know what I mean? Because he's got this huge heart for people, no matter what situation they're in. He loved hanging out with people that were the misfits. Mm. You know, the Samaritans.
Yeah.
They were always the heroes of his stories. Mm. The woman with the bleeding issue in this dusty, crazy day that's packed out, and she's an outcast. Mm. She's considered to be unclean, so she can't go to the temple. If she touches somebody, they're going to be considered unclean for a while. Or if they touch her, they're going to be considered unclean. And so here's this woman with all types of fears and shame and guilt, and she's in this huge crowd, and she says, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, maybe I'd be made. So for 12 years she's been bleeding. She spent all of her money on doctors, and she touches him. And he says, hey, who touched me? He knew. And now she's really scared, but he's going to zero in on her, because that's what Jesus does. He zeroes in on the individual, no matter where you've been, no matter what your stories is. And she comes to him, and she said, I did it. And the most intimate thing he could do is call her at this point, where she's never probably been called this before in all of her life. No one's ever called her. He called her daughter, because she now was a part of his family. And you want to tell people that this Jesus, I'm just telling you, if you know his heart, man, you would want to come. You would not want to miss out on his heart toward you. Because he said that if you receive him, that for the rest of eternity, according to Ephesians 7, the rest of eternity, the reason you're saved is so he can be kind to you. That's like, I mean, after a billion, that's all he wants to do is show kindness to you.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's the God we're talking about as the author of this story.
Hmm.
Not some type of God that when you get there, your good works outweigh your bad ones, and can I make it in? That's not his heart.
Yeah.
And the biggest sin we have probably is that we constrict the heart of Jesus. It's a lot larger than what we think.
Hmm.
So
yeah,
I've gone to preaching now. I need to shut up.
No, it's good. It's a lot of thoughts running through my head, but we get it backwards.
Yeah.
We think we have to be worthy to come before him.
No.
To perform, and then he'll accept us.
No, no. But, yeah, you know what I mean? And we would never be able to reach that standard. And the nice thing about it is that when Jesus saves us, the Bible says we're declared righteous. And that moment that you receive him as Savior, you're declared just as righteous as Jesus is. Yeah. And he loves you. God the Father loves you just as much as he loves his son Jesus because you're placed in him. Pretty crazy stuff. I'm declared righteous. That means all my past, present, and future sins are taken care of. Mm-hmm. All of them. Now, I still have to go to him for a relational sake, confess them to him. But from a judicial perspective,
right,
they're all taken care of. Because if you had to pay for one in the future, you're done. You're done. They're all taken care of. Past, present, future. All sins are taken care of. Pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's grace. Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. So I have this in here. A story of failure that we could possibly learn from, or success. When you tried to share the gospel with someone.
Sure.
Sometimes we learn more from our failures than success.
Yeah, I think probably is the things that I've been sharing with you. I have probably been often guilty of talking too much. Okay? Meaning that because I've studied some of these things and some of the tough questions that maybe I've wanted to win the argument in a nice way. Mm. You know what I mean? Rather than being concerned about that person that I'm talking with. And so I think I've learned through multiple probably times when I've done that is to really be concerned. So as I look now at my friend David, I won't give you his last name, but I probably met in a park 15 years ago in New York City. He's a Jew, retired dentist, very wealthy. And he knows where I'm coming from. He's heard that. But we're friends. Hmm. And when the hurricanes happened in South Carolina back in September, he calls me just to make sure I'm doing okay.
Wow.
This past November, I took he and his wife to his girlfriend to a show. And so I'm learning now that I'm just one part of the process of something that's far bigger. Hmm. Same thing with our neighbors, with my wife. We have neighbors that... that don't know Christ, a Muslim lady. And by the way, my Muslim neighbors are some of the nicest neighbors, the best neighbors you could ever think of. But my wife had a number of ladies over because one lady is actually dying of cancer, doesn't know Jesus, and Jeannie's talked to her before. But having them into our home, Jeannie being able to pray, Jeannie being able to have a follow-up discussion with the Muslim lady, that's what it's all about. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doing what I'm supposed to be doing at that time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and just being ready, honestly, to take the little opportunities that you have, even like at a restaurant, leaving a card, a booklet. A friend of mine named Mark Hutchinson said I was in a restaurant, he and his wife, and they were eating, and a waitress comes along and they were talking to her. He says, "Hey, listen, I got this film card called Man on the Middle Cross. If you ever get a chance, it's just the QR code on the back. You can scan over it and watch it." And so she went back to where the food was being cooked, and while it was being cooked, she watched it. And she came back and she says, "You know what? I've received Jesus because of that."
Wow.
And they got to talk to her. They went out. His wife went out to the car and got her own Bible that she had been using and gave it to the girl. Wow. Follow-up discussion. And so it was wonderful just because you're just faithful.
Yeah.
Kind of. So some, but never be discouraged because I've planted far more seeds than actually have come to fruition. So just be faithful to be, just scatter the seed wherever you can. And then realizing that God's the one that gives the increase. And if you're faithful, I've had girls go to New York City, two girls I think in particular who've gone for probably 15 to 20 years. They've shared the gospel, and guess what? No one's ever got saved. Mm-hmm. They think, "Oh man, I'm the worst. You don't want to go on my team because if you go on my team, no one's going to get saved." But you know what? There's going to be a day in heaven when all the stories come together. Mm-hmm. because those seeds that are planted there, someone else followed up on, you know, and you never know what God has done in people coming to know Christ just being faithful. So some people have never led anybody to Christ, but they've handed out a tract, they've had somebody over, they've shared the gospel and got rejected. They're just as faithful than the person who maybe, quote unquote, has that gift and they lead two or three people to Christ every time they go out. And they say, well, that guy's successful. No, no, no. Success is just, you're like a mailman and all you're trying to do is deliver the message. Just deliver it. And let God gives the increase. So don't be discouraged if you've never led anybody to Christ. Don't be discouraged if you've never even had the gospel presentation yet. Just take a little steps at a time. What can you do? You might can hand out a story film on an app.
Yeah.
You might can hand out a booklet when you leave, you know what I mean, or something like that. When you Amazon guy comes along and drops off a message, you know, you never see him hard and say, hey, listen, I got a little booklet here. Man, not trying to be a religious crazy man, but it's just a story that changed my life.
Yeah.
Just little things like that.
Mm. There's a phrase I've heard, faithful, not fruitful.
Right.
And that's, I think, what you're getting the heart at is,
yeah,
it's, yeah, you won't see that impact, and but we can be faithful, and that's what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, the stories are going to come together in heaven. That'll be, and the thing is, you just want to be kind of active in what you're supposed to be doing. You
know
what I mean? And that's what he wants us to do.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, you got me fired up. I'm like ready to go. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm feeling great. I want to share this good news with other people. I hope our listeners are too. For those that are listening and they're like, I want to partner with Spread Truth. And what does that look like? You said there's opportunities, New York.
First of all, there are resources. So if you are ever interested in some of the resources, just go to spreadtruth.com/store and you can go into our store. And there we have all different types of resources as you go. And then we have the course called Engaging the Public Square with a Better Story. And that's pretty extensive, but something that if some people are really interested, it's an online course that you take. And then the third thing is the opportunities. And so if you're interested in going to Kenya or maybe New York City, that would be great. But if you go to spreadtruth.com, you'll see the drop-down menu, and there's a lot of different things that you can explore.
Mm.
But on behalf of Spread Truth, I want to say a big thank you to Nussbaum Trucking and to Brent especially for their heart for the gospel. Love what you're doing on the road. And God is going to take those things that you're doing. And you may not always see the fruit, but there's a lot more going on than what you realize. Mm. And it's going to be cool when we get to heaven and those stories come together.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, it's my privilege, man.
This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It's good Matt didn't come today. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He got done. I'd have been cutting him off talking too much. Yeah.
You did really good. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
And thank you to Daniel for running sound and audio, visuals. And our listeners, thank you for listening. Until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hey everyone, this is Caleb from Nussbaum Recruiting, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Hope to talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.